This is the Diehards. The Diehards.
Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Frankly, it's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
Tom Brady takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
The Diehards start now on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pappy and Mark Linehan.
And here we are, another edition of the Diehards, SB Nation Radio. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios East here in Boston, Massachusetts. Anthony Pepe, Mark Linehan. I know you miss me, buddy.
Who, me?
Not as much as I miss you.
And you are...
Beautiful New England rainy Thursday once again.
It's like Cal Ripken Thursdays. Rains every Thursday.
What's happened with you? What's new this week? Anything good?
Groundhog Day continues month three.
But month three.
Looks like things are going to happen a little bit anyway. Huh? Things, drop the puck, play ball.
Things are getting back to normal.
I don't know about
all these different phases are happening where restaurants are allowed to eat outdoors, and then all it's doing is raining.
Exactly.
So yeah. Now what?
And how about the new rule is that if you don't serve food, you can start to serve food, and they'll let you. Like, you can sell hot dogs, they'll let you open. How stupid is that?
Sweet.
What you ought to do is what I used to do back in my day, is if you had to have food in the bar, throw out a plate of corn chips on each table for free and Boom. Tell the government to screw.
Andrew Carlson running Rock and Roll Control in Houston. How you doing, buddy? What's going on in H-Town?
Not much, man. Doing well. City's continuing to open back up. I don't think I've seen a single person wearing a mask down here. So is there a second wave coming? Probably. But I don't think anyone down here really cares at this point.
Time to sell the mask stock.
I think this is bizarre where like they do this for a reason, and then they're opening everything up. And there's 20 states still with the numbers going up. This second wave, if it happens, is going to be brutal. Absolutely brutal. But we're talking sports. They're going to come back. You think Major League Baseball is coming back. We'll get into that, Linehan.
I told you. I got breaking news, man.
There's hockey coming back. There's basketball coming back. Football is optimistic. Speaking of football, we'll talk to Dr. Football on the program tonight in the Progressive Guest Line. In the Coach's Corner, Linehan, we got a great guest.
That's right. Defensive coordinator of Arkansas State. We're huge in Arkansas.
Yeah, we are.
Dave Duggett, local Boston guy.
Former big leaguer, Tanyan Sturts, will join us. The professor, the sports professor, Rick Horro, is next.
Awesome. My favorite.
You're back with the Diehards. The Diehards. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Time now to go to the phones and visit with the sports professor himself, Rick Horro.
He sounds like a smart man.
Absolutely is a smart man because he joins the Diehards.
Absolutely. Just ask.
Every week. Well, I guess we don't need to intro because we have the voice guy doing the intro now, yeah. Rick. So just jump in, Rick.
Was that your SB Nation voice guy?
That was it, man.
That's huge.
That's like the pipes of God.
Like overhead or promotion on that one. That was really good. And you know, the standard Pink Floyd. I don't know if you knew this, but if you didn't have the rights to this, I think your invoice is like $100,000 for every time it plays. But that's okay. No problem.
Hey,
we'll
Rick,
figure that out.
Is there any truth to the rumor that the best fishing in Florida is in your driveway?
Yeah, I got two old tilapia that didn't make it back to the driveway, to the pond.
No, we heard this
and
before.
The problem is, So 2 days, very well done. So 2 days ago, we pronounced them dead. Their eyes are like all carved out because, you know, it's a hot Florida sun. And I felt bad for them, but I was waiting for some mad, rabid raccoon to take them away because I'm not going to pick them up.
Awesome. You got people for that, don't you?
Yeah, well, I got people for that, but they come in on the weekend, and they're on the basketball court, so it affects my horse game.
There you have it. And by the way, Rick Horro joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. So, Rick, I mean, on kind of a serious note, with what's happening going on in the world today in sports, I guess the big debate right now is national anthems and moving forward in sports. Will they just not be non-existent? Are they going to stop playing national anthems, or will networks maybe just not air them?
Well, half the time they don't anyway.
To get your overall thoughts on what's going to happen with this whole situation.
Here's the biggest problem I have with the whole national anthem issue is that we've now jumped from the what have the leagues really done as opposed to symbolism. And the NFL has done, you know, everybody's talking about Roger Goodell. Was it over the top? Should he have done better? Should he have done differently? The NFL has spent $40 million and now $150 million, respectively, on creating dollars for juvenile justice and bail reform and a whole host of issues that the players said were really important. Now, that's not enough, but it's been trivialized by the symbols. And so the next question is, who's going to kneel, who's not going to kneel? And by the way, when the NFL comes back, guess what? No fans in the stadiums. And what if you kneel and nobody's in there to see it and the national anthem isn't played until, early or later, and television doesn't cover the kneeling and there are no fans to see it? What kind of protest is it really?
I think they should change it and play like a jaunty show tune before every game and get everybody dancing around a little bit. What do you think of that, Rick?
I think that to me is one of the prime reasons that you have been relegated to a, you know, talk show. Not that this is not a great show, but apparently you've left a lot of your ambition and potential on the living room table years ago.
That shows a lot of the quality of guests we get.
Wow. Hey, if I wasn't a quality guest, you wouldn't have invested the big money in the Open. That's all I got.
Perfect. Okay.
Hey, listen, any owners that would make more money not playing?
Yeah, a lot of baseball owners. That's part of the problem. And, of course, the more baseball owners that feel that way with a 40X game schedule and the got to lay the law down, guaranteed salaries. This is not a time for a guarantee. This is a time for speculative revenue sharing. And I'm not just talking about the baseball business. I'm talking about the coffee business. I'm talking about the retail business, the restaurant business. Everybody's got to take a little bit of a different perspective on this, maybe for this year only. And for the players to say, we need a guarantee because we're making millions and we need to worry about our health. Yeah, but so are the frontliners, you know, and so are the hospital workers. And so if baseball becomes the only sport that could have played but didn't play because they got an economic fight, I'm not taking on the PR side of that for either side.
I had to talk to a Major League Baseball source this afternoon who says the new plan is 60 to 65 games starting mid to late July. That going to work?
Well, yeah, and your source should also tell you that things will be done maybe by Monday or Tuesday. They need a backroom closer, and they don't need this in the public. And I think they've got the formula, and it'll be somewhere in the 60, 65, 70 range. It's not going to be 40. And it's not going to be a guarantee. It'll be a prorated salary. And owners will open up their stadiums even if they decide to lose some money. And they'll market and they'll promote. And we'll have playoffs. And Fox and ESPN and TBS will all be happy about this. And the only issue will be advertisers will have a significant choice between a number of different sports they throw money in. And maybe they're competing against each other. But it's a pleasant problem compared to what would have happened 2-3 months ago. Who'd have thought that we had too much live sports on TV?
Yeah, is there a possibility of oversaturation?
Yeah, of course. But, you know, I'd rather have oversaturation than, as we know, watching
saturation.
The seventh episode of the Beverly Hillbillies, because we all know how that turned out. And so,
don't tell me, I haven't seen that one yet.
As you would say, spoiler alert? Is that the way that works? There you go. So the bottom line of all of this is that we've got to figure out where that point is. We've always talked about how there might be too much sports, but not now, because the other piece of this is that the networks would have done significant investment in studio work with actors and actresses for primetime comedies and dramas this year. They didn't get to do because of the coronavirus. So guess what they're going to fill August, September, October up with primetime sports. Sports in the morning, evening, afternoon, early morning. It's a great thing.
Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new home quote explorer, only at Progressive.com. On the Progressive guest line, our weekly guest, the sports professor Rick Horro, is joining us. Hey, Rick, we talked about the national anthem to kick things off. I'm curious to get your take on NASCAR's only African-American, Bubba Wallace. He called for the ban of the Confederate flag. Now NASCAR steps in and says you cannot bring it as a fan to any NASCAR races. I understand this is a bigger picture, a bigger situation, the flag and what it resembles and the history of this flag. But I'm asking you, as a business sports professor, will this affect his marketing dollars? Any NASCAR marketing dollars affected? I'm curious to get, you know, will sponsors pull out because of this, because they don't agree with it? Your overall take on the business effect of the Confederate flag situation.
Now, remember, I was the guy for about 10 years. There was a consultant on retainer for NASCAR to try to help them become more mainstream, including not just Wilkesboro and Talladega and Darlington and Rockingham, but Kansas City and Chicago and Dallas and Vegas and Fontana. You get what I mean. So it's mainstream sports, which means mainstream sponsors and mainstream ideas. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I know the family and I work with them very well. And this isn't shocking to me. It's shocking to a lot of people because they said, this is a change in mindset. No, it's not. It's not a change in culture. I guarantee you the France family is the most correct family you could possibly be. There's no racial bone in their bodies. And the bottom line was the Confederate flag would never be something they would tolerate, but there were First Amendment issues. And now realize you have to make the statement. I don't believe it's going to affect sponsors. I think it's the right thing to do. And I think the only thing that's going to happen maybe is in the next few weeks, if people are bringing Confederate flag on a NASCAR property, parking lots, are we really going to have somebody enforce it and take it off the camper with First Amendment issues? I don't know if we're going to do that, but I think the statement speaks for itself. Kudos to NASCAR.
How about Bubba Wallace? Will sponsors step up to say, hey, you know what? We want to support this dude.
Yeah, maybe. But, you know, like everything else in life, he's a very good spokesman for this. But maybe let's see if he wins a race or two, and we'll see what happens.
Hey, Rick, I heard you earlier this week on Twitter on video thing talking about how remote cheering in Asia, I believe. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Wow, how about that? I mean, you're following this stuff. That's really good.
I pay attention to it.
Yeah, well, and it's
I was the fastest kid in the slow class both years of the fifth grade.
It took you only 2 years? That's a good congratulations. By the way,
about the same time it took me to get through Harvard Law afterwards.
Believe me, that's not that simple. This is an interesting company because this is not fake crowd noise like we've talked about before. This is a Japanese company. They're trying on 58 J League soccer teams where they're going to pipe in crowd noise based on fans at home registering with the app, and actually registering emotion as if they're in the stadium. Now, a lot of bugs to be worked out, but it's going to make the stadiums noisier with more real noise, and it's also going to give the fans something to do at home. Bugs haven't been worked out, but I like the concept.
Hey, Rick, final minute here. WWE has launched a free version of its streaming network. Doesn't Vince McMahon need some money here after his second failure with the XFL? What's he doing giving stuff away?
I don't know about the free part, but free is never free with Vince McMahon. It's, you know, advertising potentially coming. This is a device where people are going to see it. They're going to get hooked on it, and maybe advertising revenue comes from it. But it's nice that it's free initially, but nothing's ever free. You know that.
Hey, Rick, great stuff as always. We'll talk to you again tomorrow night. Okay, buddy?
Oh, by the way, I'm in Tampa. So where is Brady living here? I want to go say hi to him. Oh, forget it.
I don't know. Just
Bye.
He's
look
just
for the project. Stink. He's usually in the back.
Did I mention he's going to stink this year?
All right, you said that 4,000 times. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah. All right, there he is, Rick Horro, the sports professor on the Progressive Guest Line. Quick TO when we come back, the highest rated segment, but it's getting close between that and Linehan shoutouts.
Yeah, I got that too.
So that's coming up later on in the program. But the Beantown Rundown is next with the Diehards. He's Linehan, I'm Pepe, it's SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to the Diehards on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Now time for the Beantown Rundown.
All right, boys, let's do this. Woo! Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
This segment is brought to you by Hillside Harvest. Take your meals to the next level with Hillside Harvest and their delicious hot sauces. Made from all natural ingredients and packed with bold and unique flavors, these hot sauces are like nothing you've had before, Linehan. Inspired,
and I've had a lot.
Inspired by Caribbean.
Aw.
Caribbean.
There you go.
And American influences, Hillside Harvest sauces will pair well with anything from jerk chicken to clam chowder.
Really? And everything in between?
And everything
about
in between.
Peanut butter sandwich?
I think it'd be delicious.
I'm going to try that later.
Check out all Hillside Harvest has to offer at hillsidesauce.com. And I do need to tell you, Linehan.
What you got?
Because when you pulled into the Pepe compound today.
Yeah, the valet wasn't there.
20 minutes south of the TD Garden here in Boston. Your car was sounding a little ratty.
It does. That was me, not the car.
I wasn't sure what was happening, but you know, you might need to check your battery.
Oh, do I ever. If I had a nickel.
Because when your battery goes dead, everything can come to a stop, including you.
Like that.
Don't take a chance on getting stranded. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, I don't want to get stranded.
Spare your battery free of charge.
Get molested and touched.
If your battery needs to be replaced, O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery that fits your car or truck.
How many different batteries are there, do you think?
At a guaranteed low price. Probably many. Keep your car on the road by getting your battery tested for
free. Now, do they spell
free.
Milk and bread with the batteries in case there's a storm coming?
I'm not sure. Right. At O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Beat Town Rundown.
Woo.
You ready? Are you ready?
Sorry, I was getting ready.
You can do the woo. That's fine.
Woo!
There you go.
All right. Oh.
So I know you have breaking news here on the program.
A little bit. Nobody seems to believe me. Professor had an argument with me.
Why would anybody believe you?
Yeah,
look
know.
At you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's right. It's radio. They can't tell.
MLB commish Rob Manfred says there will be baseball this season. And when asked, he said 100%.
Yep.
So the question in the Beantown Rundown is, what's the Linehan percentage based on your intel and peeps?
Absolutely. Got some breaking news today.
Question two. This whole thing intrigues me. So the Carolina Panthers have removed the statue. Some say it's only temporary, by the way.
Yeah.
Of the former disgraced owner, Jerry Richardson, as they are concerned that there may be attempts to take it down. Now, if you don't know the whole story, this was the guy that was forced to sell to David Tepper in 2018 after an investigation of substantiated allegations of sexual and racial misconduct in the workplace. So my question is, why is this statue still up in the first place?
That's where I was going to go.
Really going to take that statue back? And like, you know, first of all, where do they store that thing? Do they bring it to the dude's house? And they say, you hang on this? And then when this thing all dies down and everything gets back to normal, I'm using my quotation fingers, we're going to put this statue back up to this disgraced owner.
I got the new $1 million business idea.
My God.
Statue removal company, because they're all going.
Holy moly.
Remember, you know where it all started? In The Simpsons. Remember when they cut the head off the statue?
I remember that. This is what's happening.
That's where it all started.
Well, I got another statue, so I'm just curious to get your take on that whole situation. Question three, staying on the statue deal. Mayor Marty Walsh in Boston is removing the Christopher Columbus statue in Boston. Well, he's removing everything but the head, because the head was already removed.
Didn't I see that in The Sopranos?
Swim with the fishes?
Yeah.
Who would you like to see in its place in the statue? I'm talking, I want an athlete, and I want a non-athlete in the statue.
I'd like to see one of you.
Obviously, an Adonis.
I'm trying to carry away.
Question four, B-Town Rundown with the Diehards, SB Nation Radio. What athlete was the nicest person you ever encountered at the baseball tavern at the world-famous Fenway Park?
That's a layup.
And who was the biggest jerk?
Ooh.
Now, I know a lot of people came in there.
Yeah, they did.
A lot of people came in there. So I want to know the athlete that was the nicest that you encountered, and it might not be at the world-famous baseball tavern. It could be somewhere else. And I want to know who the biggest jerk is. And then question five last night, the MLB draft. Yep, I was watching it, intrigued.
I was too.
I can't believe I was watching the MLB draft. I think it was the first time ever I've watched that. If you were drafted in any sport, Linehan.
Yes.
Just got my mind thinking that. Juice is flowing.
Yeah, of course.
I'm going, what would Linehan be doing right now? He's obviously watching the draft and taking notes.
Yeah.
Because we're going to break that down later on in the program.
I am. Matter of fact, I just got some breaking news.
But, hold that thought. If you were drafted in any sport and signed a rookie contract, what would your first purchase be?
Ooh. A rehab gift certificate.
Would you buy the good sister something? Or would you maybe make up with the bad sister and buy her something?
Yeah, I'd buy her a hitman. Just and then Kathy, we, whatever she wants.
Then we have the never entertaining entertainment question. All right, so do you want to do breaking news first, or you want me to get to my questions? You tell me.
I got a Red Sox latest draft pick. Keep an eye on Blaze Jordan.
I mean,
he's an infielder.
You should be named Blaze, by the way.
I know, I should be, yeah.
I mean, I can't believe you, it's not Blaze Linehan.
I think it is from now on. Sup, Blaze? That's people going to say to me when they see me down the street.
Sup.
Sup, Blaze.
All right, so we're looking for Blaze.
Yo, Blaze.
All right.
That's who the statue should be of.
All right, get back to it. Manfred says 100% baseball's happening. What's the Linehan percentage based on your peeps?
98.735.
All right, tell me why.
I think that it's going to be a done deal. I get told
you're liking your 65 games starting mid-July?
65 starting mid-July. I'll take it a step further that I get told today that the Red Sox are even looking around at various college campuses today to
really?
Have spring training because they need more than one field.
Why don't they come to the Pepe compound? I got plenty of room.
They ought to, yeah. You got a pitch bag out there. They can
Hello.
Hook it up.
You Let's
bring
go.
Some tents. They got to do all kinds of stuff. Build tents for, you know.
They have, to,
like
they have to pitch tents?
Yeah, they will do that when all the right. cheerleaders come by. They make your route hotter.
So, you think it's going to happen? You're pretty much on board that 100%.
I'm not sure if I think the curveball could be obviously what everybody always says. If people start getting sick and players don't, I've also got told by somebody that is a trainer that he knows some MLB players
that
and
won't
I'm real
play.
Excited about coming back.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But I think they're going to go for it. 60 to 65 games starting mid to late July. No fans.
I guess I'm just not buying it. I'm still not buying it. I think the players' union and the owners are still
Too
far
much
apart.
Money, Pep. Too much money.
I get that, but
play ball.
I'm not buying it. By the way, Tom Brady's going to stink.
Yeah,
all right, so Carolina Panthers removing the statue of the disgraced owner who was forced to sell the team in 2018, Jerry Richardson. So just give me your overall take, dude. Why is the statue still up? Why is this only temporary? Where are they storing it? And would they really place this freaking statue back?
No, it's going to be. I think there's going to be. We should build a statue removal company and a statue storage place because they're all coming down. You know, what are they going to do? I mean, George Washington statues, they coming down? He might own slaves, right? John Hancock, I know, grew up in a house with slaves.
Yep.
History lesson.
Coming down.
How about Andrew Jackson? He got to come off the 20?
I don't know.
I mean, all kinds of stuff like that.
Yep.
I mean, it's just, you know, if you're going to. You got to. History's history. It's a part of what the deal
so
is.
So if that's what's going to happen, it's going to happen.
Take them all down.
All
I'd
right.
have a statue of Carl Everett. Because he didn't believe in Columbus to begin with. He never thought the Earth was round. He don't believe in NASA or any of that stuff. Somebody that didn't believe in anything, he might be right. Throw him up there.
So did you just answer question number three?
I'm on a roll, son. Zip it.
Mayor Marty Walsh removed the Christopher Columbus statue without the head in Boston the other day.
Yep. Headless statues for thousands, please.
And you want to go with who?
Carl Everett.
All right. Carl Everett. No, yeah. That's the former Red Sox.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm up there. What the, I don't think there's going to be
Carl Everett statue. Or Carl Lewis. Yeah, I mean, you just confused
Carl Lewis's
me.
Statue will go flying by you too quick, so you'd have to have Carl Everett's up there.
All right.
I don't know who you can put
statues. The bag out of me.
I don't think you can put statues up of anybody. Everybody's got, you know, stuff in the closet.
Give me a non-athlete.
In Boston, around here?
Yeah.
BU grad Dr. Martin Luther King.
All right.
There you go.
Fair enough.
A dream, from what I understand. The dream was him getting a statue.
Boom!
Problem solved.
Question four, P-Town Rundown with the diehards. What athlete was the nicest person you ever encountered, and who was the biggest jerk?
Well, the layup answer of any bartender in the city of Boston will tell you is John Lackey as the absolute five-star Hall of Fame customer.
Oh, we got Lackey on the phone line right now.
I hope we do. I'll say, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. Here's a $100 bill. He was just the best. Absolutely.
All right.
Anybody...
And he got a bad rap around here and in other towns as well.
He certainly did. But anybody that's ever met John Lackey didn't have a problem with John Lackey. He was the greatest. He just drank Bud Lights, mind his business, and waited on him, he gave. I used to ask him if he went to the $100 bill factory before he came in the bar.
So he was, as Rick Hora would like to say, he was a good tipper.
Yeah. Whatever Rick Hora would say.
Making fun of you?
Yeah, that's a nice try. I'll take my chances in that game. It's not often I'm the favorite.
All right, so who was the biggest jerk?
You know, it wasn't a lot. I had one night Josh Beckett was in there. He was kind of a jerk.
I heard that.
Some of my friends that I worked with used to have a big problem with Jeremy Giambi.
Yeah, I hear he's a jerk,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he wasn't really good, too. All one right, of those $5 bill guys.
Quickly, you sign a rookie contract. You get drafted. What's your biggest first purchase?
I think it's a Buick LeSabre.
What?
You know, tool around town. Everybody knows I hit it big. Hey! Sup?
Would you have Lackey by your side?
Oh, boy, I'd love to have Lackey by my side. Anytime. He'd be my absolute best co-pilot ever.
Speaking of baseball, former big leaguer Tanyan Sturts joins the Diehards next.
The Diehards continue now on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
Once again, welcome to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios East here in Boston. Anthony Pepe, Mark Linehan. We are the Diehards, SB Nation Radio. Coming up, the second highest rated segment on the program, about 15 minutes from now, it's Mark Linehan's shout out.
Yeah, I got numerous candidates.
I mean, I don't know how you're going to beat the one where your family was milking the goat, but we'll get into that.
I'm a man of, I just a renaissance fella.
Yes, you are. We're going to go to the Progressive guest line right now. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Former big league pitcher. He was drafted and played for the Cubs, then went on to play for the Texas Rangers, Chicago White Sox, Tampa Bay, Toronto, New York Yankees, and L.A. Dodgers. Tanyan Sturts is online. Hey, Tanyan, welcome to SB Nation Radio. Thanks for taking the time, pal. How you doing?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me get on. You might need a drink of water after naming all those teams, huh?
Not water, son.
I'm sorry, Tanyan. We actually have a special guest to bring you in. Go ahead.
Hey, Tan, I got to tell you, Joe Castiglione, the legendary announcer for the Boston Red Sox radio.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah, no, buddies of mine, we used to have contests trying to imitate him. And my entry in the contest was always this. Tanyan Sturts, Sturtze, Worcester native and former St. Peter Marion shortstop, takes the ball against his favorite former team. How'd I do?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
That's how I found out you were the former St. Peter Marion shortstop.
Yeah, yeah. They like to always throw that in there, don't they?
Hey, Tanya, where are you located, by the way?
I am down in Delray Beach, Florida right now.
All right, how is the world in Delray Beach, Florida right now? Because obviously this world has been turned upside down.
How's it compared to Worcester?
With 2020, but what's happening down there?
Pretty relaxed down here a little bit. Right. Obviously, much more relaxed than you guys in Massachusetts, but it's not that crazy down here. People are starting to open up a little bit down here. We're in phase 3 or whatever the hell they call it. I don't know.
We're in phase 11 and a half.
Yeah. I'm in phase crazy with these kids home every day. No camps, no nothing. It's going, I don't know what to do.
I feel you, man.
Hey, Tanya, you know, one of your famous things around here, besides being the former St. Peter Marion shortstop, was the fight with the Red Sox.
2004.
Yeah. My question is that it seems that you battled Gabe Kaplan, David Ortiz, and Trot Nixon. I'm wondering why you started right out with the heavyweight division.
Yourself, right?
We couldn't answer.
It just happened to end up that way. We ended up getting away from the pile and ended up some big guys going at it. And listen, tempers run high, and it was a big series. And, you know, Yankees, Red Sox, you don't get any better than that.
I thought you might start out with the middle infield or something, though, you know what I mean, instead of going right to the bossy.
Lou Maroney wasn't playing anymore, so I wouldn't have
you would have kicked his ass.
Yeah, I mean, you could have attacked Bellhorn or Shawnee Damon or somebody.
It would have been the Battle of Route 9.
But yeah, that was the famous fight in 04 with A-Rod and Veritek, and then Tanyan Sturts again went up against Big Poppy, Gabe Kaplan, Trot Nixon. It was awesome.
Yeah, he wasn't messing around.
No.
Tanyan, baseball today, you see what's going on. I heard today from a Red Sox executive that it looks like 60 to 65 games maybe starting in the middle to late July. What are your thoughts on all this stuff?
Well, let's hope we get something going. You know, we need to get back on the field. I hope they figure something out where they can come to an agreement and get back on and get out there and play, because not only do the players need to get out there and play, I think the country needs to start watching.
Sure, I'm with you.
Instead of everybody on Facebook and all this other crap just stirring stuff up, you know?
Exactly. You know, you wonder, though, is there going to be a situation where, I mean, somebody like yourself would – you know, wife, little kids, 65 games, you know, maybe somebody that has a ton of money. You think there'll be some players who will just say, no, I'm not doing this?
It's going to be some tough decisions. I think players want to play. I don't care how many games it is. So I think that they'll still get out there and play no matter what the money situation is. It's just the fact of whether it's going to be worth it. I mean, are we going to have 50 games and we're going to have a playoffs of the Miami Marlins and the Toronto Blue Jays, you know, the two youngest teams out there? So I think they're just trying to get everything calculated. I don't know, and I'm more looking forward to the NHL starting up. I need some Bruin talkie, but I would love to have some baseball back on the field also.
Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new home quote explorer, only at progressive.com. Joining us, former big leaguer, and I believe he was the WBC heavyweight champ, taking on David Ortiz, Gabe Kapler, and Trot Nixon. But Tanyan Sturts is on the line. Hey, Tanyan, if you were playing today, would you say, hey, yeah, I'm all in?
I would definitely say all in, but I don't think I would be playing today. I think these sabermetrics things would have got me out of the game a long time ago.
All right.
I don't think that guys like me would have had a shot of getting to the big leagues anymore, the way that they have all this stuff run down with all these numbers and spin rates and stuff like that.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on sabermetrics? I mean, I like guys that say I use it. I don't really live by it. But there are some teams, and we're right here in Boston, the example of that, that, you know, it seems to be everything they go by.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of teams are really starting to move that way. I know the Yankees are really moving that way also. They have a lot of, they just built a whole new lab in their Tampa facility. But, for me, I wasn't a big fan of a lot of information. I think it kind of hurt me. I tried to be as dumb as possible out there and just go out there and pitch to whatever happened. So just tried to battle the best I could.
What kind of things and, you know, intangible type things like you just talked about do scouting staffs miss concentrating just on the metrics?
Listen, the scouts are great. I don't think they miss too much. The tendencies obviously are a lot easier to pick up when you have the sabermetric stuff and you have a computer calculating everything. It's a lot easier for that to pick it up than someone's naked eye seeing it.
Hey, Tanyan, you grew up in Worcester here in Massachusetts, and you were out there. What was it like when you first stepped into Fenway Park?
It was tough. I remember my first start in Fenway Park. I was actually a Texas Ranger at the time, one of my 12 teams that I played for. actually had two Massachusetts guys on that team with me, Bobby Witt and Kenny Hill.
Bobby Witt from Canton.
Yep.
Yeah, from Canton. Kenny Hill. Yeah, and they both took me out to dinner the night before my first start. And
they get you banged up?
No, they didn't get me banged up. I got banged up after my start.
I hope you came across the street to the baseball tavern. I would have overserved you.
I probably did come over to the tavern. I usually stopped in the tavern.
I know you did. Drinks. Yep.
Yeah. It was an easy spot to meet the family, so everyone could get down in the bottom down there.
That's right, and I was the fat ball guy that overserved you.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
And just so you know, Tanyan, because I know this is radio, he's still the fat ball guy.
I'm skinny when I'm naked.
Right. Okay. Hey, we're all getting to that spot now. Man. We're all in the
so take us back. How tough was that?
It was nerve-wracking, obviously, the first time going yep. through. I just had, like I said, I had Bobby and Kenny in my head the night before saying, we're Massachusetts kids, everybody's watching. Yep. This is, you know, you just got to go out there and basically stick it up their butts because they didn't take us and put us in the Red Sox, you know, because obviously
sure.
that's what we all wanted as kids, you know?
Hey, you grew up a Red Sox fan, obviously. You got to play in, you know, Chicago and the Cubs at Wrigley Field. You're at Yankee Stadium, played for the Dodgers. How does the Tampa Bay Devil Rays home game experience compare to that?
Well, let's see. You have Disney World and you have no. Tampa was tough. I loved playing down in Tampa, being in Tampa. I got to play golf almost every day, but going to the stadium was a tough ride every day.
Except there was no traffic, I would assume.
There was definitely no traffic going to that stadium, that's for sure.
Hey, Tanya, when you were on the hill, who was the toughest player to get out?
When Manny wanted to hit, it was Manny, definitely.
All right, Manny Ramirez.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, you were hoping he didn't feel like playing that night, so and he was taking his four at-bats off.
You should have taken him out the night before.
Yeah, hey, listen, I would love to. I wouldn't have had to hit him so many times.
Hey, so we mentioned all those teams, and we talked about the Cubs, Texas, Chicago, White Sox, Tampa, Toronto, New York, L.A., Dodgers. Was there a favorite team or favorite fan base? I mean, again, you probably, you know, each one was individually special to you, but was there one that really stood out?
Yeah, well, I probably had my most success and best time in New York, so New York was probably the best for me.
All right.
And the atmosphere was insane, just every night is like a playoff game. It's just like Boston. I mean, everything's a playoff game. And you know, those fans were great to me. I got to pitch a lot there and got to have some good success coming out of the bullpen. So that was probably the best spot for me.
You'd already been in the league 9 or 10 years by the time you went to the Yankees. But the first time you were in a Yankee uniform, you come into Fenway Park, is that a little special, a little different, or are you already just another league, another team?
No. Definitely special. You know, obviously with the old stadium, so it was always great going into the old stadium. It was great going in as a visiting player, but being able to make that right turn instead of the left to go to the other clubhouse was a great special experience for me the first time. It was great.
Hey, Tanya, who's the pitcher that's pitching nowadays that you just it's must-watch for you?
There's actually a few guys. I love watching Kershaw pitch, and I love watching Verlander. So there's actually a few guys out there that throw the ball really well that I like to go watch.
Hey, if you could change one rule in baseball, what would it be?
Oh, if I could change one rule.
Yeah, change two or three if you want.
You can still take out the second baseman.
I think that
the second baseman and the catcher, not being able to hit the catcher and stuff like that, I think that it's just ridiculous, those rules.
Hey, what'd you think of Pedro Martinez when he was pitching?
Pedro. Are you one of the best?
Again, us being from Boston, and we obviously covered him, and I was working for the flagship at the time, WEI, and did all those Pedro Martinez K cards with the team. And every time he pitched, it was like an event. I mean, I'm just curious to get another former big leaguer pitcher on what they thought of Pedro Martinez, because to me, he's my favorite player, and to me, he was the best I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he was obviously had some of the greatest stuff to ever be on the mound, so... Mm-hmm. Just a great competitor and great stuff. Obviously, I hated the guy because I was always against him. But you know, those are the kind of guys that you should just sit back in the dugout and watch them throw and see the way they would attack batters and the way they would pitch it. And it's a clinic. And he had way better stuff than me, so I could never do what he did out there. So it was a jealousy thing that I hated him even more.
Hey, being a Boston guy, a Worcester guy, we know how we're from here. Obviously, we know how big baseball is. How difficult was it, or how many of the Worcester fans and people you grew up with did you have to change them from being Red Sox fans, especially by the time you got to the Yankees?
There's none that changed, I can tell you that right now. I think they were still throwing batteries at me in the outfield.
That is awesome.
I didn't even get to change any of my family members. They're still Red Sox fans. They didn't even change, so...
Hey,
my old man would come into the family section for the Yankees and still have a Red Sox hat. I'm like, Dad, come on, man. You can't keep
That's
doing
awesome.
That. Yeah, we love it. We'd get along with him. Hey, another just a weird random question, but of all the different teams you played for our managers, is there one manager that stood out for you that was your favorite?
Yeah, Joe Torre was definitely my favorite. Yep. It's the New York thing, but Joe, I just became really close with Joe, and Joe took care of me, and I got to talk to Joe a lot, and I'd never had that. Kind of relationship with a manager as a player while I was playing, except for that.
Well, I got to ask real quick before we go, is which one did you hate?
Did we lose him? Or did he
hang up on us? I probably hated Jim Riggleman the most when I was in the Cubs.
Hey, wow. Breaking news. Hey, Tanya, what are you up to these days, by the way, before we let you go?
I have my foundation, 56 Foundation, that me and my wife do down here in Delray. I have two small kids, 7 and 4, and I like to play a lot of golf.
That is awesome. And talk about how can people get information on your foundation?
Yeah, they can site the 56 Foundation and see. We give socks to kids that do cancer treatments and stuff like that at the hospitals all around, and we have a good time doing it.
That is awesome. And that broke up a little bit. What is that website again?
It's the 56 Foundation.
Awesome. Tanya, thank you so much for joining us. We'd love to get you on when baseball starts again. Talk some baseball with you.
St. Peter Mary shortstops.
Thanks. <All right. laughs> Thanks, guys. Appreciate having me.
Thank you. There he is, Worcester native, former big leaguer.
Tanya Sturts.
It's so funny, Lenny Ham, because when you and I were talking prior to the show, it's like this, the first thing we talked about. It's like he went after Ortiz.
Yeah.
Gabe Kapler, who was jacked, and Troy Nixon, the dirt dog, who was nuts. And then you go after, like, Johnny Damon or Mark Pelhorn.
Why do you start with the heavyweight division?
All right, quick TL. We'll be right back. It's the Diehards. He's Lenny Han. I'm Pepe. It's SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to the Diehards on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and Mark Linehan.
Pretty funny. I was just texting our pal Tanya Sturt saying...
S-T-U-F-T-Z.
Notice how I say our pal?
Yeah.
And I just said, thank you for coming on. You would love to do that, you know, with the baseball season starts. Yeah, anytime. Come on. So now he's our pal. He's
baseball tavern guy. Used to remember his family. Used to be a bunch of Worcester nitwits down there drinking Bud Lights.
He's now a friend of the show.
Yeah,
I love
is.
How he brought up he was hanging out with Bobby Witt from Canton, where we're broadcasting live. Bobby Witt from, how does that go?
Bobby Witt from Canton, Massachusetts, not to be confused with Canton, Ohio, ball two outside.
And he was also hanging with?
I don't know who
Hill.
Else it was. Oh, Rich Hill.
Rich Hill, yes.
No, not Rich Hill. The Rich Hill, H-I-L-L, from Milton, Massachusetts, as opposed to the other hill is from Lynn, Massachusetts,
Lynn, yes,
outside
yes.
in Highball 4. Hey, Pep, I've had enough. You know what's going to be best about sports coming back?
What's that?
Can finally watch. I'm sick of crappy TV.
What do you hate about it?
I don't like anything.
There's some good stuff on right now.
I want to know why King of Queens is on every 30 seconds, number one.
Because he's a funny bastard.
Okay, that's number one. Number two.
And she's hot.
I'm not anymore. Not in the late ones, but not... How about the Subway commercial with the Watt family? Is that on every 30 seconds?
It is.
Where she mix up? I think the mother had the concussion. Somebody should look into that.
I don't know.
How do you not remember that this kid likes tuna, the other kid likes turkey? What kind of a mother are you? Get the ball game there, Mrs. Watt.
1 hour down. One more hour to go. You're listening to the Diehards. He is Mark Linehan. My name is Anthony Pepe. It is SB Nation Radio.